On wood. I'm no wood scientist, but I thought I would take a moment to talk about this bewitching material itself. After all, it's the very reason I'm here in your ears today. Since the first time that we humanoids lashed a rock to a stick to protect ourselves from our vicious sisters, wood has played an imperative part in our lives as civilized mammals. Across the globe, the number of ways in which wood has been positively employed in the service of mankind is almost too great to tally. I mean, baseball bats, three-masted ships, clarinets, treehouses, toothpicks, everything. So many useful objects manufactured by human hands have also been prototyped in wood, even if they end up being produced in metal or glass or plastic. Whenever we people have a great idea for an exciting innovation, like the automobile or the airplane, we commence to tinkering, cobbling initial parts together out of wood. The reason for this choice is because wood is so damn friendly. You can break off a big piece by accident and glue it back on so strongly that the break is undetectable. Wood nobly retains a great deal of mass and strength, while succumbing politely to the application of sharpened steel tools. The resilience in wood timbers allows well-designed items like chairs and boats to have spring and flexibility, which lends them comfort and longevity. If you're at all like me, an ardent reader of Tolkien, then you have felt a certain sentience from trees when standing in their quiet, majestic presence. When sliced portions of those noble structures then occupy your bench, there's a natural wisdom retained in the organic cells. Although the tree itself is no longer living, the cells never stop breathing, as it were, in their perpetual tendency to expand and contract with the relative humidity in the air around them. Each piece of wood has a personality, even boards harvested from different parts of the same tree. And in its particular attributes and behavior, the wood will speak to you.
I like to lie straight. I like to get all curly.
Ha! I refuse to cooperate, foolish human.
Woodworking has everything to do with learning to listen to your material and then doing your best to cooperate with its requirements. Shucks, that's actually pretty good marriage advice as well, if you sweeten it up a bit. The more acquainted you can become with your tools and materials, the more clever wood will make you. It's exciting to achieve early success with a chisel or a tenon saw, but you'll arrive at another level of triumph altogether when the tool becomes part of your arm, and you and the steel and the wood operate in concert to make something beautiful, artistic, and practical. In general, wood has great tensile strength in more than one direction, which means that when you dig your spade into the ground and pull back on the handle with all of your weight, it's not going to break. It means you can sling a bunch of timbers together up over a gully and a structure they call a bridge and roll freight trains loaded with pig iron across it. You can also hang yards upon yards of sail on a pole of eastern white pine, call it a mast, and sail across the sea. The earliest wagon wheels were made of solid wood, but it didn't take the wheelwright long, relatively speaking, to discover the benefits of a lighter weight spoked wheel made up of several pieces, which was both stronger, more consistently round, and easier to fix. Heck, there are still cars being produced in England with frames constructed of ash by the chaps and ladies at the Morgan Motor Company. The reason that all of these applications call for wood over any other material is also the reason why wood makes the best axe handles and floor joists and bench seats and catapults. It bends without breaking. You can twist it and pull it and smush the living heck out of it. Wood cells and the fibers they form can take a great deal of punishment without failing, like many teachers and parents I terrified in my youth. For our purposes in woodworking, there are some key attributes to this dependable material that I would like to elucidate here. Wood can wear different hats when called upon to serve us, and so I want to split the conversation into a couple of categories, hardwood and softwood. If you're looking for a species that will provide structural strength but is easy to handle and not too heavy, like for wall studs and rafters, then you want a softwood, also known as a conifer. For more of a heavy-duty durability and overall toughness, as required by furniture parts and croquet balls, then you're in the market for a hardwood or a deciduous species. I apologize for getting a little boring here, but I'll promise to keep the science brief. Conifers are also known as gymnosperm, which means naked seed, because their seeds fall unprotected to the soil every year. Generally, conifers are evergreens, a derivation that includes spruce, fir, pine, and cedar varieties, among others. As you probably know, these trees grow fast and tall, which makes them perfect for use as the supportive skeletons of building structures. Some pine flavors are hard enough to use for tables and cabinets, but softwoods are generally not going to take the punishment that hardwoods will withstand. That said, it all depends upon your locality and the quality of softwood species available. I have worked with old-growth yellow pine and Douglas fir that was perfectly hard enough to pleasantly machine and craft into furniture, so be sure to look around for wood sources and then experiment with the available options to discern what wood will best suit your project. One invaluable use for a conifer's timber is in the hull of a canoe. The cedars, especially Western red cedar and Alaskan yellow cedar, have been widely recognized as ideal for small watercraft because of their combination of high tensile strength and very light weight. I have made 3 boats, all cedar, and that ancient pleasing shape manifested from this decidedly workable and fragrant material in the sweet silence of hand-tool work, no less, is indeed a consummation devoutly to be wished. More on this delectable topic can be heard in the chapter on Bear Mountain boats. Members of the spruce and cedar families are also highly prized as sound boards or tops of stringed instruments, like violins and guitars. Their impressive stiffness compared to their light weight makes these species ideal as the lid of the resonation chamber that is a stringed instrument's body. While the guitar wants a top membrane that will vibrate like the skin of a drum, the rest of the structure needs to be much more densely solid and rigid to effectively hold the string apparatus in place and in tune without any give. Which brings us to hardwoods. Luthiers use a lot of maple and mahogany in their instruments, as well as a whole panoply of choices for a guitar's body and accessories, from African ebony to Hawaiian koa to the Cadillac of guitar species, Brazilian rosewood. These applications, however, are merely a drop in the bucket. Hardwoods are used for so much more than musical instruments. They could truly be considered the rock stars of the woodshop themselves. Sorry, pine, but I'll line up around the block for the species commonly known as the cabinet woods. Cherry, walnut, oak, maple, and mahogany are the starting 5, but nearby, on, and in the bench, you'll find beech, birch, ash, hickory, chestnut, and butternut. And in California, we have some local beauties like black acacia, madrone, and eucalyptus, frequently a bad seed, but tragically beautiful, as is so often the case with troublemakers. These deciduous trees, known as angiosperm, or covered seed, produce a flower every year, followed by a wrapped or jacketed seed, like in an apple or an acorn. My science book says they're wrapped in an ovary, but I don't want to get into politics. This is a book about woodworking. Now, these are the trees that grow leaves and then shed them in the fall, by and large. Unlike softwoods, these trees have pores through which the tree's metabolism is able to transport nutrition and water from the roots all the way up and out to the leaves. So, botany, not to brag. The nature of this woodsy digestion system creates a wood flesh that is very dense, which makes it a joy to shape with properly sharpened tools. The hardness also ultimately protects the wood from dings and scratches, which is why these varieties have come to be preferred for furniture items that see a lot of activity, like tables, chairs, and case goods, also known as cabinets and chests of drawers. Not only are the hardwoods hardy, but their colors and grains can be exceptionally beautiful. No matter how schmancy my work ever gets, I dream of the ball and claw foot. Someday, grasshopper. The most savory moment of any project is when I have successfully constructed my piece, scraped and sanded it to a finish-ready level, and I wipe on the first coat of oil. It is at this moment that the voice of Gandalf resounds in my head, a reverberating, "Well done, Master Offerman." It's worth noting that he's not actually complimenting my tool skills, but rather my ever-burgeoning understanding that there's nothing I can do in the shop that will be more impressive and artistic than what Mother Nature has wrought within the wood itself. A successful design, I think, is one that gets out of the way of her magic, because the natural beauty of the wood will always earn more oohs and oh my's than my bandsaw feats, however nimble they may be. A note on trees. People often express to me the misapprehension that woodworkers must be responsible for the murder of a lot of trees. This notion would be false. Most of the woodworkers I know are mellow souls who love to experience the woods and the outdoors in general, as our lives tend to pursue a rhythm somewhat in step with that of nature. For this reason, we love the forest and are loath to ever cut down an august tree for any reason, including turning it into furniture. Half of the wood we use at Offerman Woodshop comes from local California sources, mainly small woodcutters who are called when trees come down in storms or need to be removed because of construction or disease. The other half comes from our local dealer, Bonhoff Lumber, which responsibly acquires their wood products from Forest Stewardship Council-approved sources around the globe. If sustainably maintained, a stand of hardwood trees actually benefits from careful thinning, known in England as maintaining a coppice. If you know where to look, there is available wood in every nook and cranny of civilization. Farms often have old piles of timber secreted away in that disused corn crib, and in the city, one simply needs to comb the alleyways, basements, construction sites, and junkyards. I have fallen in league with a couple of contractors who let me bring in a crew to salvage the framing timbers from a couple old houses they were tearing down, yielding truckloads of old-growth Douglas fir. Anytime we can utilize recycled timber, we do, as it is usually of a higher quality and/or it has desirable character, like nail holes or handsome wear and tear. Most importantly, working with salvaged timber means we're doing our part to keep the forests from being completely denuded.